All right, let's talk to the Diddy because Ray Dittinger, of course, so we love having the Diddy. By the way, we have an announcement with the Diddy here today. We're going to get to that in short order, but an awful lot of sports to talk about with our pal, our guy, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Oh, just fantastic. Better talking to you, Ray. Ray, I got this guy named Andy from Deptford on my board, and I thought.
Oh, he's the real X's and O's guy, right?
He's the real annoying guy. Like, that's the main thing I'd say. Like I had the choice to go to Andy from Deptford next or Ray Dittinger. And on behalf of 100% of listeners, I said, I'm going to go to the Diddy. You see what I see? Right.
Ray's live. Ray's hot.
There you go. All right, Ray, great having you on here. Let's get to a lot. And let's start with the Eagles. And we'll branch out. We'll cover a lot here today. 2 weeks till training camp. Let me ask you on Nick Sirianni. Are you sold on him? He's had a great start to his career. He also had two unique advantages last year. He had the best team in football, at least most of us think he did, best talent, best roster. And he also had literally the easiest schedule in football. So how sold are you on this guy's definitely the guy, or do you think the jury's still out?
No, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I am. I had all the same reservations everybody else had when they hired him. I really didn't know very much about him. I mean, I knew who he was, but I didn't know much about him. And you know, we all remember the first press conference. So I had a lot of the same doubts that other people did initially. And you know, at the start of his first year, oh boy, you know, 6 weeks in, yeah, I was really wondering. But since then. Yeah, I believe in him. I think he's a good coach. I think he's very smart. I always kind of judge coaches a lot by how you see players respond to them, and how much trust you see the players have in that coach. And I'm not just talking about lip service. I'm not just talking about at the podium saying the things that you're expected to say to any given question, but just in talking to them and just sensing the genuine belief that they have in what this guy draws up for them every week and giving them the best chance to win. I get the feeling that this team, and it's, you know, you got a lot of guys in this team that have won for a while and know their way around the sport, that they believe in this guy. I mean, that's what comes across to me. So if they believe in him, so do I.
We know the offense is incredibly talented. We also know we have a new offensive coordinator in Brian Johnson. How do you expect the offense to look different this year, Ray?
I don't think significantly, John. I probably have a little bit more concern than a lot of people do about the right guard position. You know, I mean, most people just kind of, you know, Isaac Seumalo and shrug their shoulders, you know. It's not that simple. I mean, they have to find somebody to play there, and they have to find somebody.
So you're still worried about the right guard spot. You were saying Cam Jurgens next to another smallish center. You're worried about how that works out in the NFL.
Yeah, and I want to see how it plays out, John. I'm not, you know, I'm just sort of reserving judgment. I think that Seumalo was kind of overlooked last year. I don't think people realize. He's not an all pro player. Nor do I think he's going to be, but he's a big physical guy who was very consistent and very smart. He didn't make mistakes. And so he fit into that spot there right between Kelsey and Johnson very nicely. Well, they got to fill that now. And, I know the first reaction and the first thing that the team put out there was, well, we'll give Cam Jurgens a shot at it. Okay, you can do that, but I don't think that that's necessarily the answer. You know, I want to see how that plays out. Give him a chance to play out there, sure. But, you know, I'm not just prepared to say, okay, we're fine. We're good. You know, we got that covered, so let's move on. I think you have to figure that out. You know, and I think that Tyler Steen, when you look at where they drafted him, even though he played mostly tackle at Alabama, is a guy who has that kind of size that he would fit in with the rest of that offensive line and played very well at Alabama. So, you know, even though he's a third-round pick and you wouldn't necessarily think about third-round picks coming in and possibly starting on a Super Bowl team, but I think he could have that opportunity. And also, I'm not discounting Jack Driscoll, who everybody kind of looks at as a swing guy, but I think if you gave him a chance to compete for that job, he might be able to play there too. But the thing is, I mean, somewhere in there they have to find that answer, and right now I don't know who it is.
Which Eagles running back do you like the best?
Swift. if assuming he can stay on the field. And I like Kenny Gainwell. I think he's he's a guy that I liked coming out of college, and when he's had the opportunity to play, he's played well. And certainly down the stretch last year and in the postseason, he played very well. But DeAndre Swift, I've seen him play since high school, and so I'm aware of how good a player he is. And when he's healthy, he's a real fit for what this offense wants to do. He's a better receiver than Miles Sanders was, and he's at least his equal and maybe a little bit better as a running back. It's just a question of can he stay on the field. But I think he has a chance coming here behind this offensive line and being able to play off the threat, the running threat that's represented by the quarterback. I think he's going to have some real opportunities to have some big games. So, I think that I think it's going to come down to the health factor. If he can have a healthy year, I think he could have a very big year in this offense.
It seems as though the Eagles like to talk Quez Watkins up an awful lot. How authentic is that? Do you believe in Quez?
Not entirely, but nor am I at the position where a lot of fans are. A lot of fans that I've talked to have written him off. Mm-hmm. That you might as well just move on from him. A lot of people don't even care if he's on the roster at the start of this year. I want to give him another chance. I mean, last year was not a good year for him, and nobody's going to try to say that it was. Right. But I do think that in this offense, with the threats that are represented by the other guys, with Smith and Brown and the tight end Goddard, I mean, you know the kind of coverage he's going to see as the other receiver. I mean, he's going to be one-on-one against the other team's fourth or fifth defensive back, and he's going to have opportunities to make plays. And last year he had opportunities to make plays. I mean, they drew up plays for him. He had opportunities, and he just dropped them. Mm-hmm. I know he's better than that. I mean, I've seen him be better than that. It's just a matter of, I mean, last year was just a down year for him. But I think that if he understands the situation, and you would hope that he does, or someone has made it clear to him, that what's on the line for him coming into training camp this year is he's kind of reprove himself. Now, I think he's capable of doing that. And I think if he reaches his potential, if he plays as good as he can play, he can be a real playmaker in this offense. I'm not talking about an 85 catch guy, because in this offense, that's never going to happen. But a guy that, over the course of a season, given the right matchup in a big spot, could hit you three, four, five really big plays that could, maybe win a game for you. I think he has that kind of ability still. But I think last year just got off to a bad start. He just lost his confidence. And you just got to hope that he comes back this year and can rediscover it.
Ray Dittinger with us here. Ray, let's flip it to defense. And, one of the interesting realities of this team this year is they're going to be very reliant defensively on some very young players. Now, on one hand, they got a bunch of old dudes. You got Fletcher, you got Brandon Graham, you got Slay, obviously, you got Bradbury. But then there's mm-hmm. a bunch of young guys, first and second year players. Does it concern you to any extent, that a team trying to go for a Super Bowl will have a lot of first and second year players on defense that they're trying to have get up to speed quick enough?
A little bit, because you're right. I mean, one of the things that you have to find out with this team is how much you lost off your defense and how much of it you can regain. That's going to be a real question. Hargrave was a real good player. So you're going to have to find out a way to replace his interior pass rush. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a real good player last year. I mean, he gave them a real dynamic playmaker in the deep secondary, and actually proved to be better. He actually proved to be more physical and a better tackler than I thought he was going to be. I mean, he came in and he really gave this team a jolt last year, and you're going to miss him. Keeping Bradbury really helps, but. Yeah, and your linebacker core is almost totally rebuilt. So, you're going to need. Listen, a lot of those young players that you drafted last year, who really you didn't have to play a lot and could kind of sit back and learn. Jordan Davis is going to have to play a lot this year, and he's going
so
to, have
what
to play
does that
like,
look
a first,
like?
And he's going to have to play like a first round draft pick. And N'Kobe Dean may be the most critical guy on the whole defense. I think you know what you're going to get from your veteran players, your older guys for sure. And then I think you see Josh Sweat, the way he's developing. I mean, he's just going to get better and better. I think he's going to be he's already a good player, and I think he has a chance to be a really good player. And then the secondary, you've got some issues back there. But I think the key guy really is Dean. And I know there's some questions about him. You know, people are kind of taking a wait and see with him. And that's probably smart. But I'm a believer in Nakobe Dean. I mean, I saw him, you know, I saw him play, you know, his whole college career. And I saw him play on the best college defense I ever saw, that Georgia team. Surrounded by a bunch of guys who got drafted higher than he did. And in big spots and in big games, everybody on that defense looked to him. Well, that tells me something. I mean, if you get that many good players that in a key spot in a big game are all looking at the same guy, that tells me that guy's pretty good. And he's going to have the opportunity this year to show us how good he is. So we'll see. I know there's, and until it's proven, it's unproven. But I happen to believe that Nakobe Dean is going to step in and play really well.
Ray, this next question, we've gotten different answers from different guests here in the last few weeks. Cowboys or Niners? Which team is a greater threat to the Eagles? I just kind of assumed it was the Niners, but multiple guests of ours have told us it's actually the Cowboys. Which team do you think is the greater threat?
No, the Niners. I don't even have to think hard on that one.
So are you a believer in Brock Purdy, or that he'll be back soon enough? Because the thought process for many guests that have said this to us is they either don't have a quarterback or they don't have a good quarterback.
No, I mean we got to see how he comes back from the injury. But he's no chump. I mean, I think that everybody just looks at where he was drafted and they just assume that he's not very good. I don't happen to agree with that. I think he is pretty good. Now, I think he had to be in the right situation to really show you how good he could be. If you send him to a lousy team, you know, then all of his limitations are going to be exposed, and he probably won't play very well. But I think he went to just the perfect situation in San Francisco. And I mean, a guy who's as smart as he is and accurate. I mean, that's the thing is. You know, everybody talks about this arm strength. And yeah, he certainly doesn't have a great arm. Nobody said that he did. But what he has is he's tremendously accurate, and he's really smart. And that's really kind of what quarterbacking is in the NFL. I mean, it's great if you have a guy that can throw it 80 yards, but you don't win games in the NFL throwing the ball 80 yards. You win by being accurate, having good timing, and having good judgment. And he's got all of that. I don't know that he's ever going to be, a megastar in the NFL. I don't know that he's ever going to be a guy that's, going to be knocking on the door in Canton. But in that offense and surrounded by the players he's surrounded with, he's certainly capable of winning games. He proved that last year. But, I mean, if you look at the 49ers roster top to bottom, I think that they're significantly better than the Cowboys. I think what's influencing some of the calls you're talking about, Joe, where people are talking up the Cowboys, it's the simple fact the Cowboys have given the Eagles problems.
Yeah, that's part of it. Yep.
I mean, the Cowboys are beating the Eagles now over these last few years pretty regularly. And people's memory of last season is, the Eagles struggling with the Cowboys, other than the one game when they were playing with Cooper Rush. Yeah. But over the last few years, the Eagles have had battles with the Cowboys, and the Cowboys have been beating the Eagles with some regularity.
Very true.
Last time anybody in Philadelphia saw the 49ers, they saw them in a championship game that was over at halftime. But I don't necessarily think that reflects how really good that team is.
Ray Dittinger here. All right, Ray, let's do a couple bounce-around sports questions. I got a few randoms for you. And I want to start with the baseball All-Star game from last night and something related to it prior to the game. We had a poll result yesterday on our show. The poll question was, will you prioritize watching tonight's baseball All-Star game? We had four choices. One choice was, yeah, I'm going to watch all of it. 3% of people, Ray, said I'm going to watch all of it. And another choice was, yes, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch most of it. And 7% said that. Unbelievable. I mean, we had 61% of people, Ray, tell us they would not watch the All-Star game. What is your reaction to that? Or put another way, what should Rob Manfred's reaction to that be?
You should be concerned. You should be concerned because the people that will be calling in on that poll are people who are by definition sports fans.
Yep.
They're listening to this radio station, and they're in a city that is a big sports town, and a city that's they're, by the way, that's where the defending National League champions play. So this should be a measuring stick that would indicate that would tilt heavily towards great interest in baseball or the All-Star game. And if that's the numbers you're getting, if I'm Ron Manfred, I would be concerned about that. Now, I know I saw part of his press conference from out there, and he was just jubilant to the point of being giddy about where baseball is right now. You know, he was talking about the fact that attendance across all of Major League Baseball is up almost 10%, which he thought was just tremendous. He's delighted with the rules changes. He said the average length of game is down 28 minutes at this point for the season, which really is pretty significant.
It's great. Yes, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and I mean, and then other stuff like stolen bases are way up. And, you know, I mean, there are some good things happening with baseball now, yeah. Unnecessary things, and good for him. But, I mean, he came away from it as if, hey, man, you know, I mean, he had like his party hat on yesterday. Mm-hmm. But the numbers that you're talking about, yeah, I think that they reflect a larger issue. Look, I'm a sports guy. I've spent my whole life in sports. I didn't watch the All-Star game. I didn't.
And I assume 20 and 30 years ago, you would have gobbled it up, the whole thing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or, you know, go back as far as like when I was a kid before yep. Before I was working in this business. Yeah, I look forward to the All-Star game. You know, I used to circle that date on the calendar. But I think interleague play has just changed it all. You know, there used to be that great mystery of, you know, finally of getting to see Robin Roberts pitch to Mickey Mantle, you know, yeah. Or something you would never see. I mean, except for the All-Star game, or, you know, to see Pete Rose bat against Mark Fidrich. I mean, all of these things that can only happen in an All-Star setting because there wasn't interleague play. There wasn't all of this back and forth. I think once you went to interleague play, I think that took a lot of that novelty and a lot of that suspense away. And frankly, I mean, this is just a side issue, but I hate these uniforms they're wearing now. You know, I thought one of the joys of the All-Star game was seeing your guy out there in his uniform playing in that setting. I mean, one of these, they look like softball teams.
I hated it. I hated the pants, but more than anything, I hated you couldn't see the Phillies clear. I mean, I couldn't stand that.
It was really hard to tell who was who.
It was.
And where they were from.
It really
was
irritating. All right, Ray, two more things here. The first is we're doing a show today and talking a lot of topics, but one of the main ones is you get to make any change in sports. One change, what would you make? And one of the topics that came up is to bring back the old NFL film stuff, like new content of the old NFL film style. And a caller said, ask Ray why that doesn't happen. Now, obviously, NFL Network came along. They do an excellent job. But my point, Ray, is you could have all that newfangled NFL Network stuff and still do the old-school NFL film-style stuff with new content. Why don't they lean into something that was so universally beloved?
Yeah, I mean, you just put your finger on it, Joe. I mean, new people are running the operation now.
Is that Goodell?
No. Well, I mean, he was part of the idea of creating NFL Network, which they wanted to have their own network, and when they had their own network, they were going to bring in their own people to run it, and they brought in most of them from ESPN. So what you see on the NFL Network is really kind of a mirror of ESPN, with a heavier NFL flavor to it. But, I mean, you see it. It to me, when I watch it now, it looks a lot like ESPN programming. You don't see that trademark NFL films, heavy music, slow motion kind of stuff that everybody associates with NFL films that gave it a stamp that there was nothing else like it.
Is it because it's too labor intensive, Ray? Like, that was some deep, heavy, like, I don't know, some deep cuts. The music was so customized to this specific situation because Steve Sable was so into the music. You know, is it just that it's too hard to pull off now because they no longer have those people who are so committed to that next layer of, I don't know, difficulty or intrigue or something?
Diligence.
They added, it was so labor intensive.
My take on it is, and I was there. I was working at NFL Films when NFL Network was born, and when NFL Network came in and really kind of took charge of how things were done there. And I just think the sense of it that I got from those guys is they thought that was just old programming. It was too slow. It was too over the top. That they were more into what television is going to now, which is quick cuts, quick hits, quick comments, boom, boom, boom. you know, the slow motion shot of that football spiraling through the air, with the music rising in the background. A lot of those NFL network people looked at that and said, man, that's like yesterday. You know, that's not where we're going. That's not where we want to be. And I thought at the time it was a mistake. Yeah. And I still think it's a mistake. There is some of that stuff still done. They still do some really good stuff. I mean, like the America's Game series is really good.
Yeah, it is.
The football life shows that they do are very good. But they're out of the NFL Films playbook. I mean, they're done by a lot of the veteran NFL Films guys who are still there. Mm-hmm. And to me, it's still some of the best sports programming on television. But the whole network isn't built on it the way it used to be.
Totally agree. All right, Ray. Final thing, and it's something I know we're real psyched here at WIP to announce, and I know you know about it, but it's to honor you, and it's to give a lot of younger people throughout the Delaware Valley an opportunity to, you know, try to be the next you, so to speak. I mean, there's only one Ray Diddy, but you get the point here. Let me say this, everyone listening right now, WIP is proud to announce the start right now, today, of the Ray Dittinger Internship Program. This internship will provide coaching, mentoring, and peer support, amongst other great benefits. It's going to begin this fall as far as the actual work itself, but the application process starts right now. It's going to be an internship that is a six-month structured job assignment that will provide career development, access to sports resources, and professional networks to develop your skills, provide hands-on training from the experienced WIP content team, all, of course, in the name of the great Ray Dittinger. Now, the idea of this was first announced, of course, Ray, a few months ago with you, but the implementation of it now goes live. And for all those listening right now, all those parents out there, if you've got a son or daughter, you know they're interested in this, or perhaps you are a college student, you want to get into this, here's the deal. Go to odyssey.com. Once again, the website is odyssey.com. Those interested in the internship can go to odyssey.com and get to the careers page for the internship program. Ray, congrats to you that this is happening, because without your excellence, the reality is this would not be happening, at least not on this timetable.
Yeah, how about that? Rod Lakin, your outstanding program director there, talked to me about this back at the time when I was retiring. And said, this is something we would like to do, and put your name on it, and have you be a part of it. And you know, and I said, you know, I'm really flattered. I think that's great, because Joe, I'm sure you do. John, you may even get these too. But I mean, I am always getting letters and emails from young people
who are in
college now, yep, and say, hey, I want to get into business. I don't know how to start, but what advice can you give me, or how can I go about getting experience? Because this is what I want to do. And I mean, I get them all the time. Joe, you get them all the time. Mm-hmm. I said, John, you may get them too. And it's nice to have something tangible that you can point to and say, well, here, do this. You know, here, you know, contact these guys, put your name in the hopper, and see if you get this opportunity, because it is a great business. It is a great career, and I was lucky enough, blessed really, to spend 50 years doing it. And I would like to, at this point, do what I can to help give some other young person that same opportunity. So I think this is great. Thanks to Rod for creating it.
Well, listen, Ray, congrats to you, because again, it's got your name on it, and that's a big deal. Odyssey.com, the careers page, and you know, we'll get a lot of future, you know, WIP employees and people both locally and nationally that can hopefully flourish in a very big way. Ray, awesome having you on the show. I know we'll have you in studio here again sometime soon. Appreciate you. It's always been a huge part of the show. Thank you, Ray.
Always a pleasure, Joe. Have a great day, guys.
All right, bye, Ray.